1 Kings chapter 17, as we get back into our study now, we're talking about the life of Elijah, and we're calling or entitling this series, Anchored in the Midst of Adversity. We've looked at the time of adversity that Elijah is called into ministry, and it is quite a time that he has been called out off the cattle fields and brought into the service of God. And so we see now that Elijah is in the midst of this adversity with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and the idolatrous nation of Israel. But he was anchored. He was anchored in his rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. And so we're taking lessons from the life of Elijah and how he was anchored into the rock during his midst of adversity. And now we are applying that to our lives, and when we're in the midst of adversity, how we can be anchored from the example of Elijah. So tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll be looking at just the first seven verses tonight. We spent all of last week just on the first verse. But tonight, we need to look at this as God tells Elijah to go to the brook Cherith. This is really a basic training, a boot camp for Elijah. He's going to the brook Cherith for a purpose. Now, the first words a new recruit hears as they depart the buses upon arrival at their military boot camp and basic training camp are not words of endearment. They're not words of welcome. They're not words of encouragement, but they're words of harsh treatment of words to individuals that have no recourse of understanding what is going on. They're words of discipline, they're words of instruction, they're words of order that are being voiced at such a high decibel, like a bombardment upon an enemy's position. These words form the theme of the opening introduction to a new recruit to military life. They're delivered with passion by an instructor that you quickly will learn to obey. A boot camp instructor, a drill sergeant as they are known, they mean every word they say because they have been tasked with a near impossible task. Now, as a new recruit, when you arrive on a military installation for this boot camp, this basic training, you are not expecting what you are welcomed with. You come off the bus, and I can speak clearly on this because I was there. I witnessed this. I loved this, and a few of you also have lived this. It is shocking. My parents were not ones really to raise their voices very often. I didn't have many teachers that I can remember that raised their voices very often. And you get off a bus, and there are people yelling in your face. Literal spittle coming on your face. You're like, what have I done? These individuals have been tasked with a near impossible task. They are to turn a bunch of self-centered, lazy, disorganized, disheveled, rebellious-natured individuals into a fighting force that obeys instructions to the letter and are able to work together as a team to overcome any obstacle. If you were in that lineup that first night or first day and you look down the line left and right, you're like, there's no way any of us are working together. I'd be surprised if any of us are still standing here and ready to get back on the bus. As new recruits arriving at their respective boot camp, they form a line while being yelled at to hurry up, stand in order, and They're just unorganized, ragtag bunch of young men and women of every conceivable size and shape and background, thrown together in a strange place, in a shocking environment, having no idea, thankfully, what was ahead. And during the next, depending on which service you go in, during the next 10 to 12 weeks, you are going to follow every command that is given you. Every shred of self-sufficient arrogance, every hint of independent spirit, and all thought of rebellion is wiped away. Any indifference towards authority is quickly replaced by firm commitment to do only as you are told. The discipline regimen of boot camp, day after day, week after week, brings about a remarkable change in an individual. As a result, you leave that place completely different than the way you arrived. The isolation of your location, the absence of soft creature comforts, the relentless, monotonous drills and demanding repetition of inspections, the tests that force you to encounter the unknown without showing fear, yield powerful dividends. Almost without realizing it, while learning to submit yourselves to the commands of your leader, you ultimately find yourself physically fit, emotionally stirred, and mentally ready for whatever conflict might come your way. Even a harsh reality of facing an enemy in combat. I still can remember my boot camp instructors. They leave a lasting impression on you. One was sort of joking, but he had moments of seriousness. He was the one we all gravitated to, because the other one was stern, harsh. A warrant officer, that means he has come enlisted and he's worked through all the enlisted ranks and now he's an officer. He was a warrant officer, Navy SEAL, who had served multiple tours in combat situations. He didn't find anything funny. We never saw him smile. He was... but he had a mission, he had a task, that he was to get this group of ragtag individuals into a force that could go to combat. Those that couldn't carry the weight, they wouldn't stay. This kind of raw recruit training is precisely what the Lord has in mind for his servant, Elijah. From the court of King Ahab, he sends him to the brook Cherith. And the brook Cherith becomes the basic training camp for Elijah. Little did the prophet know what his being hidden away at Cherith would prove, and what experiences he would experience and what training he needed. But there he would be trained to trust his leader. Unquestionable, so that he might ultimately do battle with a treacherous enemy. To accomplish this, the Lord would need Elijah's full attention and commitment. So he sends him to the brook Cherith. Notice chapter 17 and verse 2. In verse 1, he stood before Ahab and says, "It's not going to rain, nor have due to my word." We find out in James it was 3.5 years. In verse 2, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. As we read these words and try to imagine the setting, we begin to see the plan of God, this plan of preparation God has in this place, the brook Cherith. God had things he wished to accomplish deep within his servant's heart. Things that would prepare Elijah for encounters that might destroy a least or a less obedient, less committed, less prepared servant. Elijah needed some basic training at this place of preparation, the brook Cherith. So God immediately sends him away from the palace to a place of isolation, to a place hidden from everyone, where he would not only be protected from physical danger, but would also be prepared for a greater mission. For God's servant to be useful as an instrument of significance for the Lord, he must spend time with the Lord. That was his place of preparation, the brook Cherith. This is a place of intense instruction. Instruction in faith living. Instruction in submission to authority. Instruction in humbleness of spirit. Instruction on dependence, on the guidance and provision of God. Prior to Elijah's time at the brook, he was a spokesman for God, but he was not yet truly considered a man of God. Notice again verse 1. How is he introduced to us? Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Nowhere here does it say Elijah is a prophet. Nowhere here does it say that Elijah says, "Thus saith the Lord." Nowhere here does it say that Elijah, the man of God. Elijah is claiming a promise of God from Deuteronomy. He's claiming, "God, you be glorified by keeping this promise you made in Deuteronomy, when the nation of Israel or your people shall turn away from you and start worshiping other gods. You said you would shut up heaven, cause it not to rain. I claim that promise." He comes out of nowhere and suddenly stands before the king to deliver this message, this promise of God. Oh, but something happens between verse 2 and verse 24. He has spent time in the will of God, in the place God has for him. We get to verse 24 of 1 Kings 17. And the widow of Zarephath says of him, "The woman said unto Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." He has been to the place of preparation, and God has commissioned him with a task. But he first must go to a place of preparation. As the beginning of this chapter begins, he's simply Elijah the Tishbite from somewhere in Gilead. But by the end of the chapter, in between verses 1 and verse 24 is what I would call Elijah's basic training experience. So let's look at this experience. When he first came on the scene, Elijah, as God's mouthpiece, stands before the king Ahab, announces a drought's coming because God has promised it. All the way back in the day of Moses, God has promised it. And I believe God, and God will keep his promise. This was not an ordinary drought. This was a severe drought, a divine miracle of God to hold the rain for 3.5 years. But even further than that, there was not even dew on the grass. Many have said Elijah is one of the God's mightiest prophets of the Bible. After confronting King Ahab, we find him taking a trip, a God-appointed trip to this obscure brook in the Jordanian wilderness. We don't even know where the brook Cherith is today. What enabled Elijah to later go to Mount Carmel and face the prophets of Baal, call fire down from heaven, and to continue his life one mountaintop experience after another, was that he first had to spend time at the brook here. We'll discover as we look at the life of Elijah through this study that the most important trip he ever made was the one to the brook Cherith. It was there that he learned the basics of depending on God. We cannot bypass the brook Cherith of our life on our way to the Mount Carmel experiences of our future. If we have, and if God has put in our path in the future a Mount Carmel type experience, there's going to be a brook Cherith along the way. We must stop at the brook Cherith of our lives and glean the lessons that God wants us to glean. Let's go through these first seven verses and look closely at them. As we come to verse 1 through 3, we have here God's plan. It's a recognized plan. Let's go back and read these three verses again. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. That word in verse 3, the word hide, is an interesting word. Its meaning, and as it's translated other places in the Old Testament, it means to be absent, to keep close, but also to conceal or hide. But here it is referring to that be absent. Elijah was instructed to not go to the brook to hide from Ahab, but he was to go to the brook Cherith to be absent from all things, absent from distractions of life, to be absent, to get alone with God and be trained in faith by God so that he could take in the lessons of God in order to later give it out to others, to teach others. God's plan here was to get Elijah by himself without distraction so that he could learn of God. This is God's plan for all of his children. He wants to spend, wants us to spend time with him and be trained so that eventually we can take what we have learned and teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2 is a great example of that. In the midst of our adversity, we are to come to God for instruction, increasing our faith, so that we may be able to help others who are going through the same adverse situation. Now, none of us hope and desire and dream adversities in our lives. But they come in many different forms and fashions. It could be a financial situation. It could be a health situation. It could be a material situation. It could be a family situation. It could be an employment situation. Whatever that adverse situation is, it is coming to your life. And God wants you to spend time with Him and learn of Him and learn the lesson of this adversity that has come into your life so that you can help others when they go through it. In verse 4, we see God's restricted promise. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Oh, what a key word that last word is in verse 4. The word there. The brook Cherith was the will of God. The location that God was going to provide for Elijah. It was there that the ravens would feed him. That's where God was going to provide his necessities in the center of his will for his life. Elijah receives a promise from God that, but it's restricted, it's conditional. And it's an important thing being where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. That word there is a key word to this passage. For Elijah could have said, well, it's more comfortable in my home back in the land of Gilead. Well, that wasn't God's will for his life. And God would not have sent the ravens to Gilead to feed him. The ravens were going to come to the brook Cherith. So Elijah needed to be where God wanted him. It was a restricted promise. But then verse 5 continues, and it's a required prerequisite. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Elijah went and did according to God's word. Obedience was and still is important to God. Note Elijah's response. There was no doubt, there was no defiance, there was no delay. He went and he dwelt. This is God's required prerequisite to blessings. So do you want the blessings of God in your life? Obey God. What is He instructing you to do? Are you in the place where God has called you to where He has a will for you in this place? Then He's going to provide for you through your adverse situation. Train you, prepare you to help others and for those Mount Carmel experiences. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And this is happening where God said it was going to happen, at the brook. God's released provision. Elijah obeyed. He went to where God called him to go. He was there waiting expectantly that God would provide. After getting alone with God, being in His will and moving in obedience, only then did Elijah see the released provision of God upon him. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and evening, and he drank from the brook Cherith in the midst of a drought. God provided miraculously for Elijah at the brook Cherith. But verse 7 continues, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, this was inevitable. If it's not going to rain in the highlands, then the water is not going to trickle down the streams and the rivers and the creeks to the larger bodies of water. Well, it has not rained, so there is no water source that's going to continue to feed this brook. So it's going to dry up. Now, some are prone to say, well, some God that is calls you to a place and He doesn't provide. Oh, no, He provides. Elijah was where God told him to be. And he stayed there until God told him to move on. And doing what he was told to do, he has adversity in the center of God's will. He said, well, God's called me here. God has, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm in the center of God's will. But why am I having adversity? Why am I having struggles? Why am I having problems? Something God wants you to learn. And there's something that God has prepared for you in the future that you need this lesson for right now. Could it be that Elijah's heart was being tested once more as the brook and its wonderful water dries up? Could Elijah be tested again to see if his trust was in the brook or in the living God? You know, God has called you a place and you're serving God there, you're doing God's work there, you're getting and receiving God's blessings there, you've had adverse situations, you're learning and trusting God and growing in faith and obeying God. Even in the center of God's will, you're still going to have tests. It's going to test your faith. Are you trusting in your own strength and your own ability and in your own thinking and your own capabilities? Or are you trusting me? Best illustration I have, and I've spoken about it often this last few months, is the destruction of our home. I know I'm in the center of God's will. I'm right where God has called me to be for this time. And there are lessons that I need to learn while I'm serving God and worshiping God and living for God in the center of God's will. But there are adversities. There are adverse things that happen while I'm in the will of God. So God says, I need to trust you. Is your faith and trust in me or in the capabilities of others or the capabilities of contractors? Or no, I'm trusting him. And through this journey, I've told a couple people this already this week, a few handfuls of people this week, but it started out as a deep valley, a discouraging valley, a depressing valley. To live in a place, raise your children in a place, invest so much money into a place, then have to tear it down, pack up everything you own, live with relatives. Come to the place where that valley is no longer depressing, no longer discouraging. Because you've rounded a corner in that brook Cherith. You're no longer looking at the darkness. You're looking at the light. And the light that is shining brightly, because now there is joy in the valley. Like, how can you have joy in a valley? I can't explain it. Maybe one day the Lord will help me to explain it more clearly, but we now have joy in this valley because we have seen God's hand move time and time again and line things up and put people in our past that we've never even known about or heard or met. And now there's joy in this valley and we can see the light. Elijah has been in the brook. He's been enjoying the provisions of God morning and evening. He's been drinking from the cool brook of the brook Cherith, where the rest of the country is dying of thirst. God is miraculously providing for Elijah in the midst of a great famine and drought in the nation. He's there learning from God and listening to God and being trained of God, prepared by God. then the brook is no longer flowing as fast as it used to flow. Well, that's interesting. What's going on with the brook? Are some rocks up above blocking the stream? No. And the next day, it starts to slow down even more. And next day, and now it's a trickle, and then there's no water. God, you brought me here. I'm not leaving until you tell me to go. You know I can only stay here a few more days or I'm going to die of thirst. I'm trusting you. I'm leaning on you. In this valley that I'm now in, I'm trusting you. Reveal your purpose. Reveal your purpose for bringing me to this brook. And now drying it up. And God is saying, I was just testing, son, to see if you were trusting the waters of the brook or if you're trusting in the one who created the brook. What do we do when the brook of Cherith dries up in our lives? Oh, he has a plan, folks. He has a purpose. If we'll just back up from the circumstances and the adversity and look for God, he's all there. He's all in. He's never left us. He's not forsaken us. And when it seems like all hope is lost, he's going to lead. Pass this test of faith. You pass this test of your brook Cherith drying up. As you pass this test, he's going to lead you to the next location. Notice what it says in verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise. Get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Notice the word there again. Dwell there. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Not in Jerusalem, not in Samaria, not in staying at the brook Cherith. No, you are now to go to Zarephath. God has told Elijah it's time to move on. You have been in the center of my will. Now continue to obey me and I will take you to your new location, center of will. It is in Zarephath. And you're going to dwell there. And a widow woman is going to sustain thee there. Not the ravens, but a widow woman. There must be a Cherith to prepare us for a Carmel. There must be a Cherith in our life to prepare us for a Mount Carmel. I don't know what my Mount Carmel is, and you probably don't know what your Mount Carmel is. But I guarantee you, you can look back in your life or maybe in your current life and you can look and see, I'm at my brook. I need to learn the lesson God has for me at this brook. And then as you pass the test of faith and learn the lessons God has for you and he's prepared you, then he will lead you to the next location. God's servants must learn to trust God absolutely. We yield at first a timid obedience. Well, I'll trust God. It's almost impossible, but God, I'm trusting you. Almost timidly. But when we find out that God is even better than we could ever imagine, and that he will keep his word to the letter, our faith grows. and our faith grows exceedingly. And we advance to further service for God of lessons of faith. This is how God trains His servants to fly. Not physically, literally fly, but to fly for Him. I'm sure you've heard the story of how eagles teach their children, their younglings, their eaglets to fly. It was witnessed by these two surveyors out in the midst of the wilderness. They're climbing this peak to do surveys, and as they're looking out, they watch for hours these two eagles, adult eagles, as their nest is so far up on the peak. And as they were climbing to their next survey location, they see this fluffy little thing come flying out of the nest. Well, it wasn't flying. It was falling. It was an eaglet, all full of feathers and not flapping. And all of a sudden, you see the adult eagle come swooping down, catch the eaglet on its back, and soar and fly on the thermals until it gets back to its nest. And these surveyors said they watched this for hours as eaglet after eaglet would fall and fall. And they said they would fall anywhere from 50 to 150 feet before the eagle parent would come and swoop down and catch them, take them back to the nest. And said it continued and continued until it was getting dark and they had to make camp and prepare for the next day's climb. This went on for a few days as they watched these parents and these eaglets just seemingly falling to their death and the eagle parents swooping down and catching them. They're teaching their children how to fly, to trust their wings, to trust their feathers, to trust the instincts within them. They said eventually they lost sight as they rounded the peak on their path and couldn't see the eaglets and the eagles anymore. But by the end of the week, they were up high enough in the peak that they could look down on the nest. Out in the distance, they saw four eagles flying. Two were adults. Two were not. They had trained. They're young. Trust. They can fly. This is the key to Elijah's experience, but it's also the key to our experience. The strong emphasis on the word in this chapter is there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I have commanded you to go dwell there, and a widow woman will sustain thee there. Elijah might have preferred many hiding places other than Cherith. But that was the only place. That was the only place to which the ravens would have brought his meat and bread. And as long as he was there, and God desired for him to be there, God provided for his needs. The thought here. Where does God want you to be? And while you're there, are you learning to trust him? What lessons of faith are you going to learn before God allows you to move on to the next? What adversities are you facing right now in your place? Trust God in the midst of those adversities. Anchor your soul deep into God's Word and to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible teaches us that He is our rock. Learn. Trust God so that we can fly. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this lesson. We all have valleys that we go through. Some are health related, some are physical related, some are economically related. Lord, you know the valleys that we all each are in. And as we're in these valleys and you're teaching and training us and making yourself real to us, help us to learn the lessons that you would have us learn while we're in those valleys. Help us to look for you and help us to look for joy in the midst of sorrow. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn to lean on your understanding, trust. For those that are here tonight and watching through live stream, help them in the midst of their adversity to learn to trust you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for letting us fly on wings like eagles.